And coach, it's hard enough to handicap these college football games. Of course, NBA and college basketball have their challenges too with the COVID and the load management. But as far as college football, you have the coaching changes, you have opt-outs, you have the transfer portal, and in addition to all that, you have these referees that either seemingly don't know the rules or interpret them differently.
Yeah, that's something that I've noticed because, difference, of course, coaching all over as I did, there are different styles of football played in different parts of the country for whatever reason. But, and officials, they're used to officiating that style. But listen, when you take a Pac-12 team and all of a sudden you put them with an SEC officiating crew, then it's crazy. I promise you, for the average fan, they wouldn't think that would mean a whole lot, but it does. Because take for instance, in the Big 12, which is basically y'all just call it the offense league. They let their linemen hole so much that if and the SEC's bad too. You know how I feel about holding. Hell, everybody holes every play, and they don't call it enough. But the thing about it is, the Big 12 officials, when they go and they call an SEC game, SEC teams are getting away with murder because they're never going to call a holding penalty. It's a different, it's just a different mindset, a different philosophy. I don't have the answer to that, but I know one thing that I am sick of. I am sick of seeing replay officials try to take over the game. And case in point, Chas Chambliss, freshman linebacker from Georgia, he, in my opinion, I can't see anything that he did in that tackle that he made with just a few minutes to go in the game that warranted an ejection for targeting. We've got to do something about that.
Yeah, and then there was another game on New Year's Day. The defender, maybe you recall the game, but the defender, he jumps over a guy. His elbow barely hits the quarterback's helmet or the runner's helmet, and they reviewed that and called that targeting.
Yeah, that was the Citrus Bowl with Iowa and Kentucky. Yes. And the thing about the targeting rule, and I'm all for safety, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we ought to go back to the Neanderthal days where we could spear and all that kind of stuff.
Head slapping.
Exactly. I'm not saying that. But now think about this. There are times where targeting just happens by the rule. Targeting just happens just by, you and I can be in cars riding down the road. You're doing what you're supposed to do. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But guess what? Sometimes, things just happen and you have an accident, okay? And instead of ejecting these guys on the first targeting rule, they've got to make some type of an adjustment, just like the personal foul. That's your first personal foul, your second one you're ejected. They've got to include targeting in that. Because now think about this. You can pick up a player and body slam him into the turf head first, WWF style or what have you. And that's a 15-yard penalty. But guess what? You still get to play.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing is, and this is a little bit off tangent, but off subject, but the offensive players, when they lower their head and create that contact, I mean, Earl Campbell, Trent Richardson, all those big physical backs in the years past, they used to do that all the time. And I don't recall an offensive player getting called for targeting.
I don't either. And now think about this, though. Smoke Monday at Auburn, and there was another player, and I can't recall this game because it was one of the myriad of bowl games. But after an interception on a block, they were called for targeting. And I'm thinking, wait a second. If this were a wide receiver making that block on a defender, that would not be called. But because it's a defensive player, even though possession had changed over, again, I'm with you. Something has got to be done about this.